As long as they're good games, it's all good. Okay, Rabosai, are you recording?
No, I tricked him.
Not a problem. So I want to welcome everyone back. I'm taking off next weekend because next Thursday night, because a lot of people eat turkey. So we could spend time talking about the people who eat turkey, or we could just give ourselves a free night. So we're going to do that. Learning in the shul this week, including this year, responsibly L'Ilui Nishmas Leah Bas Ephraim and L'Ilui Nishmas Rav Shraga Shlomo Ben Avram Tzvi, and of course the Neshama should have an Aliyah. And now let's turn to this week's series of questions. It's funny, this week, all three questions, this Parshas Chayei Zara is always seen as the Shidduchim Shabbos, right? That's the week we talk about matches and whatever. So I decided the three questions this week will all have to do with dating and marriage. So these are all questions that have come through the pipeline, including as late as after I had announced it. I got a call tonight from somebody about an hour and a half ago who asked such a similar question that was really kind of entertaining to me. I was like, so funny you should ask that now. He says, why? He says, because I'm dealing with it in an hour and a half, possibly. He says, you're dealing with it only possibly in an hour and a half? So it depends on whether the people want to talk about it or not. So let's roll up our sleeves and go through all three. Question number one. So my daughter is old enough to enter the realm of Shidduchim. My wife and I are frankly terrified. That was not the question, though. That was a statement of reality, right? Dating and finding a match today is quite different than it was in the past. I mean, just yesterday, my neighbor's wife told my wife that she should schedule an appointment for my daughter with a resume writer and a professional photographer. It's incredible. We have a brand new industry out there. We're creating brand new industries just for dating. Now, I get some of the resume writing, the fellow says, but a photo session? Is that mutter? Okay, and the other night, my daughter and her friends were sharing and evaluating a few of the guys' pictures from their resumes. Is that also okay? This is question number one. Question number two goes down a little bit further down the dating line. The question number two was, I'm dating this girl, and we needed a fun date idea. So she suggested an escape-the-room activity for the two of us. And it got me wondering, what kind of suggestion was this? How can we do that? Is one allowed to be locked in a room for a set period of time with a member of the opposite gender? She told me it must be okay because the place she looked into was a kosher escape the room. What does that mean, and is it really kosher? That was question number two. And question number three goes even further down the line. I'm getting married in a few weeks. I was told that it's a good minhag not to see one another before the wedding. Can we Skype? Can we FaceTime? Can we text? Can we send messages and love letters? And how long are we supposed to separate? Also, what's the deal with the pictures? Can we take those before the Badekin? So, again, in summary, we have the question about the photographer and the professional photographer for dating profiles. We have the escape the room, and we have the wedding pictures. It's funny, now that I think about it, I'm listening to all three, there's another commonality between them. They all involve pictures, whether moving or not, right? But we'll see how afterwards. So which do people feel like you want to deal with? David votes for one. Three. Okay. So tell you what, I'll start with one and I'll move, if time permitting, I'll move to three. If not, three will come back. But I think you and I have talked about three. So maybe it's a little more expanded, but we've talked about three. So we should be able to get to a summary on that anyway. Okay, the reason why I'm shifting to one is because I told the other fellow who called me an hour and a half ago, he also voted for one. So he doesn't get a vote. If you don't show, you don't get a chance, but he lives in a different community. So if you're the one listening on this, well, for our website, Matov Umanayim. So what is the big issue over here? This is like a big issue to me. On a personal level, I have a lot of personal feelings about this, like, brand new system. You know, shidduchim and resumes. Resumes are what you put out when you look for a job. Right, but I think a lot of the problems we have is because we apply for the opportunity to go out for dinner with somebody. Actually, we don't even apply for that. You only apply for the opportunity to sit somewhere. And of course, with deference, I remember the first time I dealt with a guy who had, you'll see why in a second, the first time I dealt with a guy who had certain anxiety about dating. He came from a certain southern Jersey community, and he says to me, I'm all nervous, what do I do on a date? I said, I don't know. I said, what do you think you do? You talk. So he says, well, I went to the dorm where all the older guys live, because I figured if anybody has experience dating, I would go to the guys who are older. Very good. That's what Yossi shaking his head no. He goes, yeah, you have a lot of experience at first. So he says, they tell me Whatever you do, talk about fish. That's why I what's fish? Fish is friends or family. Interests. There's another I that could be in there. S is school or seminary or summer. And H is hobbies, right? So that's it. And if you talk about all those things, you'll be fine, right? You have more than enough basis for conversation. Of course, my guy did not do that, and that's a much longer story. We'll have to save that idea for another point in time. But, you know, we've gotten, like, all crazy that everything has to be sort of regimented. Plus, we hire private investigators, right, to go ahead and evaluate each resume. How often did the person sneeze in third grade? I remember when I was dating way, way, way back when, I guess probably I think before the whole floodgate thing blew open. There was a girl I was not interested in dating. But she decided I was going to go out anyway. And so she was doing this incredible amount of research. So I happened to be in Israel at the time, and I happened to be on a bus, and I bumped into my third and fifth grade Rebbe, Rav Yonah Monk, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, a wonderful man. And he smiles and he shakes my hand. I introduced him. I hadn't seen him at that point in time. Probably upwards of 14 years, right? And he says to me, Ostagidli Mashu, he says to me, how could it be that you haven't had a Rebbe since me? I said, what are you talking about? He says, just yesterday, this family calls me, and they asked me, do I know you? I said, I know him from third and fifth grade. He was a nice boy, right? I didn't develop my mean streak at that long. He says, so as in, you have no other people? You're still relying on your third and fifth grade Rebbe to take care of you? That was part of the reason why I think I was not so interested in going out with the girl. But we have like this whole industry. So the issue is not so much the anxiety produced here. There is a bigger issue here about the pictures. What might the issues be that we need to look at? I thought this was a pretty big issue. So I have a very big problem with the use of pictures because I want to know what the goal of the pictures are, right? What are you using pictures for, right? Huh?
See if you are attracted.
Right, and what's the problem with that? So the Gemara says, Asalatim Shikash, it's Ishachi, right? We'll come back to that idea in a second. But, you know, it's like really, this whole use of the pictures can be a very major issue. And then there's a whole issue. It's the same issues that apply to men apply to women, and then we'll see. There may be one or two other things to think about. To me, there are three psukim that are important for us to think about. The first one is v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. You'll see why in a minute. But the first one is just remember we're going to come back to that pasuk v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. And it's that sometimes the women will say to me, "It's not fair. The girls have to submit the pictures. The boys don't always have to submit pictures, right?" So that's one. Two, we have an ishmartu mikol davara. You have a responsibility to protect yourself from doing anything wrong. And some of you in the room may be remembering the Gemara we learned together. But that's going to be number two. And number three is, v'lo sasuru achari levavchem v'achari eneichem. Be careful, guard your eyes. We'll see what that means in a second as well. Let me show you why there are curveballs when I bring up these issues. First, let's start with the Gemara Nedarim. There's a Gemara Nedarim on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Rav Acha Rav Yoshia Omer, Rav Acha says the name of Rav Yoshia, call it Sofa Benashim, if somebody is checking out girls. If you're checking out girls, Sofa Bali De Avera. You should just know that you're checking out the women, it's going to lead you to an Avera. V'cholamistakel be'akiva shalisha, and a person who's checking out even the back of the heel of a woman, having gunim, she'inim, and gunim, it's a reason to have children who are not going in the right way. So I'm reviewing if uvishto inida. It's even in a situation where it's your own wife in your own situation. Certainly, by extension, to other people's to other women who are not your wife. So simply, according to the Gemara, glancing at pictures seems to be a problem with the future of our people, which is crazy. You know why? It sounds a little bit nuts. The Gemara has strong issues in general with men looking at women. Try this following story. You remember the story with Rabbi Akiva at the corner? I'm a big Rabbi Akiva guy. I love a good story with Rabbi Akiva. So let me tell you about Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara tells a story about Rav Shimon Gamliel who was walking around on the ramparts of Har Habayis. And a certain very, very good-looking model happened to be there. Right? A certain, this is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Chaf Amud Aleph. So he said, well, Ma Rabu Masecha Hashem. Right? He had a chance to turn around and say, look how beautiful Hashem's creations are. And then the Gemara says, forget about Rav Shimon Gamliel. Even Rabbi Akiva saw models. And one person he saw was the wife of Turnus Rufus. Turnus Rufus was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad man. And he didn't like the Jews very much in general. So, and what did he do? Rak shachak ubacha, right? He shachak ubacha. He spit, he laughed, and he cried. So the Gemara explains why he did each one of these actions. He spit on the ground because he said, look, she comes from just a drop, right? This beautiful beauty that you think is so fantastic, it comes from a drop like everybody else. He left because he says, in the end of the day, she's going to be married to me. He saw Baruch HaKodesh. Then in the end of the day, you know, here she is, she's, you know, and then he cried. Why? Because he said, it's a useless, you know, this high shufra, this beauty, what's going to end up with it in the end of the day? So the Gemara says, the Gemara goes on and says, "How is he allowed to look at? How is he allowed to look at her?" Meisvei b'nishmata mikol davara. Remember that pasuk we quoted it before. You should be careful from anything evil. Shelo yistakel adam b'isha na'ah. How could we have Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? We have Rabbi Akiva that looking at beautiful women just to be able to say, "Look at this beautiful." Marabu masach hashem. Right? I can think of it now. All the boys in college are going to run around saying, "I have to be mekayim that mitzvah. I have to go check out the girls." They go to the weddings. They go to the weddings. They go to the beaches and they go to the what do you call it? The fashion shows. For what purpose? Marabu masach hashem. You have to be machmir. You have to see more. That's crazy. What a nutty idea. So the Gemara says, we have a pasuk that says you're not allowed to do that. Shelo yistakel adam b'isha na'ah. Vafilu penuya. A single girl, and she, even if she's beautiful, a person shouldn't look. And the Gemara says, we take even more precautions. And then the Gemara goes on and says, the malach hamavis, Amru alava, malach hamavis, shekulo maloi naim. If you really want to identify, you know what the malach hamavis looks like? He's the googly eye monster. He's covered in just eyes. Why? If you wanted to personify the angel of death, because the easiest way to bump into the angel of death is just follow your own eyes, right? And that's what the Gemara wants us to take away from this story. So Gemara says, how come Rabbi Akiva was allowed to stare at this woman and tell her how beautiful she was, how Shimon Gamliel tells her how beautiful she was? Answer is, they were stuck. They're walking on the ramparts of Har Habayis. He's walking this way, she's walking this way. They meet at a corner. What's he supposed to do? Right? What's he supposed to do? No choice in the process. But otherwise, a person's not allowed to be looking. So the Gemara bends over backwards to get both these rabbis out of trouble. And along the way, the Gemara is telling us that if the girl is a single girl, based on the pasuk of Nishmarka Mikol Davara, a person has to be careful. And the Gemara adds, a little bit further down, like 6-7 lines down in the Gemara adds that we learn another lesson from this pasuk of Nishmarka Mikol Davara. Shel Yahar Adam Beyom V'yavo Lidei Tuma Balayo. Right? A person shouldn't be thinking about beautiful women during the day, lest he come to a problem at night with inappropriate emissions. So, this whole business of the pictures, to me, for a long time, has been a problem. I didn't understand why people are pushing this in certain communities where people, that's not a norm in certain communities. Why are we pushing to go into that direction? I'm not from the other side also. I don't think we need to black out the pictures of women in our world. Everything is kind of normal. But why are we pushing for it? Like that was always something I didn't understand, right? And I think I also want to point out to you something that one of the two of you said last week when we were talking about feeding in shul. So, you know, one of the two of you made the point that there's a difference between somebody who happens to see parenthetically and a mistakel, right? What's the difference between a mistakel and tsofe, right? And somebody who, and the word haroe, somebody who happens to see. Do you remember, whichever one of you it was, do you remember, I think it was you, Yossi, no? Right? Yossi made the point last week that there is a very big difference. But what is that difference? So, I want to also tell you that that's only one of the 2 points that came out, because there's I mentioned psukim before. We did, huh?
Intent.
Well, so very good. Hold on to that idea. Well, so is there something to think about? What's the toelis?
You want to know if you want to go out with this girl.
Right. So I think that these are two very important critical factors that we're going to have to put in.
That wouldn't happen with just the perchance meeting.
Okay,
no,
so
the thing is the picture itself.
No, so he's bringing it, he's already tying it back to our question. Yeah. Like before we start, Rabbi, before you start bringing out the Chumrah of the Week Club, which may make a lot of people happy, but not the people who are professional photographers, making lots of money in between weddings and bar mitzvahs and family pictures in the park by doing a bunch of girls, photos and boys' photos. Huh? Yes, yeah, so that depends. Until that's good for another 5 years, but it's not good forever.
Just a quick question, going back to the halacha, that even if it was a single girl, wouldn't it be worse if it was a married girl?
Yes, but since I'm only focusing on single girls tonight, the Gemara, if I may be blunt, the Gemara, so I left out that line in the Gemara because it was relevant to the question at hand, but the Gemara says you could look, if she's a pretty single girl, you can't look. And if she's not even a pretty married woman, right? So this is Gemara's language, not mine. I don't know what that means, a non-pretty married woman. Every woman is, like Beis Shammai says, Kala Kamoshei, right? In the eyes of her husband. And she is certainly Na'ava Chasuda. That's the way we sing it, or the weddings, and that's the way she is, that's the way she appears. So I don't understand what the Gemara means over there, but getting back to the point over here, since we were talking about the single women, I hope most of the women who are going to have their photos taken for these resumes are single, right? I hope so. It's a kind of important factor, right? So this is Gemara. The Gemara tells us that when they were selecting which parts of the Torah were going to be Parshas Kriyashma, right? There was a debate about adding Parshas Bilam inside. You know, it's what you and I call Parshas Balak, right? And the Gemara says, why Parshas Bilam? Because it has everything in it, right? And the Gemara says, "Here Avera, the Here Avodah Zarah has the messages about thinking in Avera and Avodah Zarah." The Sani we learned in the Brisa, "Achare Levavchem Zuminus, Vechinu Omer Amar Naval Ein Elokim, Achare Einechem Zuhir Avera." So you have to understand that what there is a what to be learned from the pasuk of Velo Sasuru. So just to recap, I started off with three psukim so far. Now I've identified Vinishmarta as a very big problem over here, which tells us, don't be mistakel. Yossi told us last week the word listakel means to really spend time looking inside. Marvin wants me to look and realize, is there a purpose or a non-purpose in examining these pictures? Maybe there's a difference. And now I have Lo Sasuru, which is the Gemara's answer. Is there a difference? Why am I using these two different psukim? And the answer is yes. Why is there a difference between the pasuk of Alo Sasuru, if the reason why you can't look at the pictures is because of Alo Sasuru, versus Vinishmarta Mikora? So the smak, which is known as the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan in Simon Lamed, Mitzvah Lamed, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, is a pretty contemporary name, independently, because he doesn't quote the smak, and then that appears in Igros Moshe Eben Ezer Chelek Aleph, Simon Nunvav. So they both note that when a person's intent is nus, his intent is to engage in some sort of inappropriate benefit for himself, an inappropriate relationship for himself, that's a violation of Alo Sasuru. When he's just doing it for his own pleasure, he likes to look at pictures it won't lead to znus, there's no intent of znus, it's just that, he gets excited, that's a problem of Vinishmarta Mikol Davara. What's the difference? Sir Moshe says, I'll tell you the difference. Is this a subset of Gilui Arayas or not? If it's a subset of Gilui Arayas, you got to give up your life for this. And the Gemara describes a certain instance. We had this Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where a guy had a certain, he couldn't deal with his addiction. He was addicted to this particular woman, and he wanted to marry her. And the girl said, no way. So he says, well, at least let me talk to you. And of course they said, no way. He said, well, what if we stand behind the fence? And the rabbi said, no way. He says, I'm going to die. The rabbi said, better, unfortunately. It seemed a little bit extreme. What was the concern? The answer is, if it's a Bezrayu de Gilui Arayos, it's potentially a very serious problem. The Mishnah Berurah and Siman Nunhei, Sifkat and Zion, points that Histaklus, just simply looking around, is a problem of Velo Sasuru. So he sees that there is that this issue of Histaklus, there must be a question of gradation. That's a little bit problematic for us. So even just to look could present the problem. And why is that? So I mentioned three psukim before, Vinishmarta, Velo Sasuru, but the third one was V'Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. There is a very famous Gemara The Gemara in Kiddushin, at the beginning of the second parak, makes the following declaration. A man is not allowed to marry a girl unless he sees her beforehand. This, by the way, is one of the big questions about Yitzchak Avinu, because she, by the time Rivka came back to the land of Israel, she was already his wife. And how is this able to be done? This discussion, it goes a little bit further than the scope of what we're discussing tonight, but there are a lot of answers to that question. Something to think about, maybe just in case the rabbi doesn't get a chance to come up with a different question tomorrow night, right? But Shema, why does a man have to see a girl? And by the way, by extension, theoretically, most poskim are of the opinion that the girl should see the men as well. Shema yirai ba'davar meguna v'tiskana alav. Maybe he's going to see something in the woman, she's going to see something in him that she's not going to like. He's not going to like, and it's going to, that's going to occupy his or her mind the whole time. V'rachmana amar, and the Torah says that if that becomes the case, it would be a violation of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. So now watch. A person is either allowed to, and it sounds like from the Gemara, obligated to go out and check out a potential mate. But if we're dealing with Zrayu de Gili Arayos, if we're dealing with a potential step to Gili Arayos, how do you turn around and say, right? Some guy lost his life over this, right? So how do you turn around and say, this is such a big issur, and now all of a sudden, well, for dating, everything's okay. So I remember many years ago, my mother used to work in a very large school, right? And so she used to introduce us to all these colorful characters who were teachers at different levels in the school. And so I remember one time she came home and she was laughing because this one teacher in the school, one of the rebbeim in the school, said to her, they were all sitting around at lunch, and someone said something, well, you know, it's for a shidduch. And he went on a whole 15-minute routine where he was describing, this is us, but for shidduchim, everything's okay. No lashon, for shidduchim, everything's okay. He says, don't worry, if you can change your question to something about shidduchim, all of a sudden everything's mutter. There are nothing for a shidduch. So, that doesn't really seem to make any sense. So if you're not allowed to do something, and especially if you're putting it into the level of one of the big three, how come all of a sudden we say, well, we have to l'recha kamocha, go ahead and check it out to your heart's content.
Understand, because you don't need the picture for that, because even if you don't have the picture, obviously they're
going to
date, or he's
going to
see
her
before they get married. So
you don't need the picture. Let me take a step back and put this back into context. What Yuri is pointing out is how much estaklus do you have to do, right? Like, it says, see her. What do you have to get to know her a little bit?
You're trying to minimize it, saying, it would be worse if you saw her in person and you weren't going to be interested in marrying her. So just look at the picture. It's better than seeing her in person. And then why expose yourself to look at a girl that you may not even want to marry? So just look at her picture.
The picture might not even be...
The pictures, by the way, almost never represent the real person. But let me tell you a secret. When you go out on dates with women and men, you get, hopefully, everyone at his or her best. That's what I always tell the guys around here and the young women when the people are coming into the office. I tell them, guys, just give it your best shot, right? Don't worry. Everyone knows that you're at a different level when you're dating. They also know that the first couple of times you go out, you're probably more nervous than you are in real life. That's called normal, right? So here also, it's an important issue. So what you're trying to suggest, if I hear you right, is fine. You're allowed to look, but for the purpose. But who says that? Who says that you got to be sitting there with a whole stack of papers with photos and photos and photos?
No, I'm not saying the amount. I'm saying we're relying on that on the Makadosh HaShirena, so therefore you're allowed to look at the picture. What I'm trying to say is, even off the picture, it's not like you're going to see the picture, then you're going to be a Makadosher.
Right.
You're going to have to still go on a date with her.
Right.
So why do you need the picture?
So you're trying to suggest a minimization. Okay, a minimization of how much.
So you don't need a picture,
right,
for the HaShirena part. You're going to see her anyways before you get engaged.
You hope, right? But how do you know you're going to get to that stage? How do you know you're going to get to that stage? You got to start somewhere. In our society, we don't propose unless you go on a first date, right? And by the way, we're not so Hasidish here. In Hasidish circles, one date is called a bishul. I used to, the first time I heard that time, I said, what did you call that? The Big Show? Right? And I got all, people were all up in arms, like, I couldn't hear so well. I didn't know any better, but it's called the Big Show, right? And so one time, that's it, but we don't operate that way. And I don't care how frum and yeshivish you are, right? You know, we go out a number of times. Rav Schacht used to always tell us that there's a pasuk in next week's parsha, at the very end of the parsha, where Yaakov Avinu is being sent off to the house of Lavan, Parshas Toldos. So remember, he's running away from Esav, who decides, Yikrevu Yimei Evel Aviva Hagas Yaakov Achi. He says, my brother's going to, my father's going to die, and then I'm going to kill my brother. So Rivka overhears this, and she decides she better do something and get Yaakov spirited away safely. She goes in to see her husband Yitzchak, and she says, Katzdi bechayayim et nebe nos ches. Right? So Rabbi Zatzal, who was a very famous rabbi in Brooklyn, so he turned around and he apparently was quoted as saying, people should not go get married unless they go out at least eight times.
Eight?
So at least eight times.
Brooklyn is three.
So this was Rabbi Zatzal's statement. So the Satmar Rebbe at the time issued a proclamation, and he said, when they asked him what he thought about that, he got up and he said, it's a pasuk. How a girl, you have to go out eight times? Ugh, I can't take that. So they went back to Rabbi. They said, "Gee, the Satmar Rebbe just went after you." This is all Rav Schacht. This is one of his famous stories. So he says, "Sure, the Satmar Rebbe, he should be well. He's a Masadik Kedushin. I'm a Rav of Brooklyn. I'm a Masadik Gittin. So he's going to talk from his perspective. The faster to the chuppah, the better." But I know the effects of what sometimes happens when you move too fast. I think you need to go out at least eight times, get to know each other. So based on what you're saying, right, you can't get to date number eight unless there's a seven, and you can't get to seven unless there's a six. So maybe the pictures is a step in the right direction. So again, what Yuri is also hinting to in the process is that we also have to look at cultural norms. Because I did just present two different communities that have two different views within the process.
But the picture and the resume is not about getting to know the person. It's about deciding whether you're even going to go out with that
process.
It's nothing about getting to know the person so that you find out.
First of all, my dear friend, there's nothing that says, the Gemara's language is, Achirani, you have to see her. I gave you a nice flowery interpretation of what it means to see a potential spouse. That's not just to take a look at a trophy. Right? You have a lot more to say on that, but not in this context, right? But rather to take a look at a person on a deeper level and to see, do you fit together, etc. That's a healthy way for people to work, and I think that's one of the big problems that we have today. To be quite honest, I think that's one of the very major dangers that are going on in society today, that we do look at things very shallow. We only look at it, but let's be honest, the language, the simple interpretation of the Gemara is a very two-dimensional question, right? Did you see her? Did you not see her? That's it, right? Did you see him? Did you not see him? So, Rabbi Mordechai Willig, the great Rav, one of the Rosh Yeshiva and Rosh Yikolol up at Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzhak Al-Khanan, in his very first Sefer called Am Mordechai on Sefer Brachas, Simon Tes Zion. So Rabbi Willig noted that, look, if you're checking a person out for the purpose of potentially marrying a boy or a girl, then you of course you should be able to look for the purposes of a shidduch. But that, how much looking, that depends on the cultural norms, right? Now, but then that's only for the purposes of a shidduch. So if you're going to, you know, the places where the boys get the last 10 years of high school pictures for every high school in the nearby area, so they can check out which girls and start up a chart one against the other, who are the best looking, the second best looking, etc., etc. So everybody says that's clearly off the wall and nuts, and that would be a potential problem. I think that is not only Rabbi Willig's chiddush. I think that that idea can be found originally in the United States of America in one city. Where would that city be? The one you're sitting in right now. Why is that? Because prior to the development of a little town called Elizabeth, New Jersey, there was a town in Europe known as Divinsk. And of course, the Rav of Divinsk was the famous Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk, otherwise known as the Meshech Chachma. He was also known by another nickname, the Or Sameach, because the Meshech Chachma was his commentary on Chumash, and the Or Sameach was his commentary on the Rambam. And the first place where those commentaries were printed in the New World was where? Elizabeth, New Jersey. So I'm standing in Elizabeth, New Jersey. I have to tell you, Rabbi Willick's comment appears in the writings of the Or Sameach, where he turns around and he says, Re'iya Sa'isha Tzricha Lios Davka, Kasher Ari'iya Haisabi Matara She'ivdok in Ksher Be'inav. Havel Re'iya Be'alma, Shalo Aisel Etzorach Matara Zu, Adayanina Matira Sa'isha Shel Aslanim Shekadisha Sa'isha Achirena. He says, if a person is checking a girl out, you're allowed to look for what purpose? To see if she's going to make a good wife. Otherwise, you're not allowed. It doesn't get you out of the yisur. You have a responsibility to look for the purpose of doing what? Trying to make sure that you're getting something better out of it. There are other communities.
That doesn't make sense.
Huh?
That doesn't make sense.
Why is that?
Because looking at how, we're looking at the picture, without having ever met the girl, can you say that she's going to be a good wife?
The answer is, you're raising a point, but I certainly know that if I, my friend is dating this girl, right? My friend's very into the girl. I want to check her out, right? Right now I'm checking her out. For what purpose? I want to see if she's good enough. She's good looking enough. Or I went out with the girl, but I keep her picture, right? Why am I keeping her picture? We said no, and we're not going to get back together. But I want to hold on to that picture, right? Why? So why not? Parents sent the resume. I have the resume. What's the big deal? Right? Answer? There is a big deal. For you, it's not a healthy thing. For you, holding on to pictures of random Jewish girls, right, for no purpose whatsoever, it's odd. I know you're looking at me like it's odd. I think it's odd and you think it's odd. But if I told you that it's not it's not the craziest idea and that I've heard of it before and somebody asked me about this, I have to tell you that I should tell you that it does exist. Now, you should just know, since Rabbi Willie made everything, and certainly Rabbi Meir Simcha made it about what your purpose is, in other communities, this is unheard of. So we've been quoting from Rav Nissen Karelitz, Zecher Tzadok Levracha, who passed away in Bnei Brak. So Rav Nissen Karelitz says that, I don't understand, where does this idea of checking? He writes in his Sefer on Tzitzis, he says, I don't understand, why would you need a picture of a girl? If your mother says, go out with the girl, you go out with the girl. If your mother says, don't go out with the girl, we need the pictures for it. So again, everything is culturally relevant. So those creepy guys who are checking out the women for the sake of checking them out with no intent of dating them, I'd like to say, I think they have what we call a classic histoclus problem. It's unlikely to say that this is a lifnei iver situation, because they are a very, 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 very big minority. It's not a large number minority, it's a tiny group within the larger group. And unfortunately, or otherwise, the society says before a first date, everyone wants to know everything about everyone else, including, what do they look like for one another. And I can't say that these young men can't look at the pictures to see would I go out with this girl or not, in the same way that I can't say that, you want to hear a little bit about the girl before you decide to go out or not. But this looking and the checking should be tasteful. And people have to realize that in their lives also. Yeah, but I'm not done with this question.
I would assume most people would agree, though, once you're dating and you're trying to advance the relationship, that looking to enjoy is also problematic.
Right. So, the question is, what are you looking at? Should be able to look at your mishudeches and be able to say, let's say a couple's engaged. I don't think they have to go hide their heads in the sand. That's not in our world. That's not our style, right? There are communities where, as soon as you're engaged, that's it. You don't see each other until, you're walking down the aisle. And that's, again, in each community, that the cultural norm is set, and you don't, in terms of offsetting the histoclus problem, right? This problem of really going in and checking out for potentially very dangerous effects. So again, I think a person needs to be able to put things into context. What about the women, right? He caught his daughter checking out all the profiles of the guys. Do we have the same problem with the women? Yes or no? So you're shaking your head yes. Why not? How about because there's a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Memches Amid Beis that tells the story about how when Shaul HaMelech came before he was appointed and anointed as king over the Jewish people, right? He came to a certain town and he spoke to the women. And the Gemara asks, why were the women there? And the answer is, because Shaul was pretty handsome. And as the Gemara says, the pasuk says, Mishichmo v'amala gavo mikolam, right? He was a full head and shoulder. Literally, he was heads and shoulders above the rest of the crowd. He was very, very good looking. And Shmuel, one of the Amoraim, says, Kedelis takel biyofyov shel Shaul, right? The women wanted to see this good looking guy, which seems to suggest that I guess it is okay for the women to go ahead and check out. Maybe they are allowed to look, right? Why? That doesn't seem fair. How come the women are allowed, the men are not allowed? How come, what's the difference over here? So, David, with you in the room, I quote from Maran, HaRav Ovadia Yosef, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, Yashal Shetshuvas Yabia Omer Chelek Aleph, Orachayim Simen Vav, in the middle of a much larger tshuva that has nothing to do with this issue. Rav Ovadia, I think it's Os Hei, the subset Hei. Rav Ovadia says, by the way, you should just know that that comment about the women checking out Shaul, he says, that's a position, right? And he says, there's a Yalkut Shimoni that seems to suggest otherwise. He says, I don't think that that's brought lahalacha. And he says, you know who actually says this flat out, that the women are allowed to look? He says, the last time I checked, Rabbi Yoilish Teitelbaum, the Satmar Rebbe, right? Not usually known as that crazy wild Mekel that he was, right? He's not, you know, so he says, if you look at Taras Yom Tov Chelek Vav, page 42, he says, this whole issue is silly. He says, Ein lahachmir b'zeh, a person shouldn't be concerned. In earlier generations, the women were allowed to look, right? In fact, we find examples in the Gemara of Amoraim who would sit so that they could be seen, but didn't look, so that the women should be able to go ahead and see them. And Rav Yoilish Teitelbaum is quoted in the most famous series on Evan Ezer, known as the Otzer HaPoskim, Volume 9, he says that in all of this, it's very, very clear. So, he says, you know, somebody came out and wrote an article, Rabbi Yoilish Teitelbaum, and people came out and attacked me. So don't attack me, attack Rabbi Yoilish! I'm just agreeing with him, right? But he says, I don't know, Jewish women for years have been, we assume that Jewish women are of a higher caliber, says Rav Ovadia. They don't have the same problems. However, you know who does think so? You know who thinks that they may have the same problem? The aforementioned Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Evan Ezra, Chelek Aleph, Simen Samach Tes. This is the next tshuva. So he says, it really comes back to our discussion before. If the prohibition is a problem of znus, men are not allowed to engage in znus, and women are not allowed to engage in znus. But if it's a problem of the fact that we don't want a person to have inappropriate thoughts that will lead to inappropriate emissions at night, men have that problem, women do not have that problem. And just like Rav Ovadia and Rav Yoilish feel that this is not a problem, Rav Moshe points that out as well. However, there is one, so again, as far as the histaklus issue, the idea of women checking out guys' photos, women don't, it sounds like most of the poskim are not concerned about that in the same way that we would need to be concerned with men with the same situation. However, there's a second problem that comes up with the women checking out the photos the way I described it in the storyline here. And what's the problem over there? That they were sharing and evaluating the guys' pictures from their resumes. And what's the problem with that? You still have, right, you still have the issues of Lashon Hara that come out. Oh, he's got a big nose, he looks horrible. This picture, he looks horrible. What an ugly guy, right? You know, just because you may not have the problem of histaklus, you do have the problem. And sometimes, I still remember my mother always used to tell us that she felt it was not a healthy thing that when the girls came back from the dates, they would go back to the dorm. Because then right away, the first thing you have to do is trash the guy. Especially if you're not sure if you're going out with him again, right? So I find that, you know, rather funny. But my mother is a very wise woman, and I think that having raised enough children and now kind of grandchildren who've walked the walk, I think that you know, she knows of what she speaks. And in that regard, I think we've dealt with that question. Let me give Tova, just because you asked about the third question, if you don't mind, give me about 5 minutes, right? And we'll just quickly talk out that question. The fellow says, I'm getting married in a few weeks. I'm told that it was a good minhag not to see one another before the wedding. Can we Skype, FaceTime? Can we text? Can we send messages, love letters? How long do we have to separate? And what's the deal with the pictures? Can we take them before the Badekin? Any issues on the table? So the truth is, we've talked about this. If you come to Shul for Shal Shudas, you may remember about five and a half years ago.
Before
no?
Died.
Huh?
Died.
Right before we did life cycle. So when we spent a lot of time on the wedding and a lot less time on the end of life issues. So we did quote a Gemara in Nida. We're learning it, the Nida and Daf Yomi now, but this is a lot later in the Masechta. So the Gemara Nidan Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph points out that if a woman tavua li nasei, if she gets convinced to go ahead and get married and she agrees v'nispaisa tzrichalei shev shivanikim, the Gemara says in such a situation she needs to now observe 7 clean days of Nida. Why is that? Because so Rava says this is a concept called dam chimud. It's a blood that may come out as a result of a desire. And at the time of what we would call engagement, and we're afraid she may have a spotting, and that would make her a nida, and she would have to go ahead and count 7 clean days. So if that's the case, we'd have to be concerned. Maybe that's the source of this practice of separating. However, if that's the case that she needs 7 days, how long should the practice be? 7 days plus 1, right? Because you need to have a day before. Right, you need 7 days from the day. The problem with this line of thinking is that the Beis Yosef in Yeridei Simen Kuf Tzadi Beis Sivkat and Beis, the Beis Yosef brings down that in the name of the Ran, if there's any time gap between engagement to wedding, right? If there's any time gap, then there's no problem of Dam Chimud, right? And the Rashba says this, and the Ran says this, and I'd like to point out we all do this. We don't get engaged and then walk to the chuppah 6 days later. It's not a rush. Now all the woman's like, oh, okay. That's not the way we do things. And so then, if anything, beyond that point in time, we don't have a problem whatsoever. This leads Rabbi Binyamin Forrest to a shocking revelation. Laws of Nida, Volume 2, bottom of page 458, moving over to page 459. The purpose of these lines is merely to show, I'm quoting, that the custom of not meeting one another has no basis in the halacha of Dam Chimud, not to belittle the custom. So it seems like even Rabbi Forrest agrees that this practice of not seeing is certainly not based on this halachic issue. In fact, the Beis Shmuel in Evan Ezer Simon Laman Hesiv Katan Beis points out that there was a minhag to see the night before the wedding. You know where the concept of a rehearsal dinner comes from?
Yaakov.
You and me. It's called the Chassan's Mel, which is, I guess, Yiddish for the Chassan's Meal, right? Yes. Did I pronounce that correctly? Right? I assume so. And so therefore, the Chassan and the Kala would be there. Everybody else would be there. It used to be a custom, the Beis Shmuel's time. It, you know, this is already post-Shulchan Aruch, his commentaries. So if that's the case, where did this custom of not seeing come from? They're so makbid on it, these people. I get questions. Skype, love letters. Is it from Shkia? Is it a 24-hour thing? How do you figure it out? So the Aruch HaShulchan brings down, and this is also in Evan Ezer Simon Lamed Hei. He says, you have to understand something. There are two potential possibilities, right? One is that, look, this is a pretty sensitive time, right? Couple, very, very close, right? In many instances, the Isser Nida may not even apply because the woman may have gone to the mikvah already. What are we worried about? They may be too close. And this may be a problem. They may come to have, to be unable to control their urges. So therefore, possibility A is maybe should stay away so that they will be able to control themselves. Of course, then the Aruch HaShulchan turns around and he says, maybe they shouldn't be together, shalo yakutsu zebazet. Right? So, do you ever hear the term bridezilla?
Yeah.
Right? Do you know that bridezilla attacks and gets stronger as you get closer to the wedding? Well, if you're the potential bridegroom and you are there watching bridezilla, And I think there is a groom equivalent. But if you're there during those moments of stress, there may not be a wedding. And so therefore the Aruch HaShulchan says, it can go this way or this way. You know what you're better off doing? No way, Jose. However, there is a big, big difference with this line of thinking. Once it's no longer a halachic problem, but rather a question of protection, right? What does that teach you?
You can take pictures before.
The answer is, and Rav Ari Kaplan brings this down in probably his greatest work of all time. It's known as Made in Heaven. It's my favorite of his works because he literally takes the wedding ceremony apart, line by line, minute by minute, with footnotes and everything. He says, of course, if it's necessary for their wedding preparations or for other reasons, it's permitted for the couple to see one another. For the record, I saw my wife the night before our wedding and what was then my father-in-law's restaurant because I had to direct the other guys how to go pick up the sandwiches that we were bringing back to the hotel, right? For my whole family, everyone had come in. And my wife decided to go hang out with her friends in the restaurant that night, right? So like I said, it's not an issue de reisa. Thank God our marriage has endured. This, by the way, brings down another issue. And what is that? If it's a necessity for the tzorach for the wedding, it should be mutter, right? I have heard on more than one occasion from Mori Virabi Rav Shachter, they should take pictures in advance. They should take pictures in advance. And when I remember telling Rav Shachter, Rabbi Teitz, the story beforehand, he looked at me funny and he said to me, of course they should take pictures beforehand. Do you realize what happens when you go to a wedding and then all of a sudden a whole second wedding is taking place while you're still sitting there nursing the piece of lettuce with a little bit of whatever it is on top? Sometimes it's fish and I like the family, but I don't necessarily want it on my plate, right? What are you going to eat? What are you going to do? And everyone's standing around twiddling their thumbs, and then you have to get her all side. And then you have to get his all side. Then you got to try to get them all together. Then by the time you turn around, if you're not from either of the two sides, you missed the entire wedding. It's 11 o'clock at night. The chazan and kala haven't come in yet. What a waste! They're standing there all day long waiting for the wedding to start. Let them take pictures in advance. Rabbi Teitz told me, b'peh mole, and he advises it. And he recommends it very strongly. I drove Rav Shachter to a wedding and back, where he was very upset on the way home, because he had to leave early. We had to leave early from the wedding, but early wasn't early. We had been at this wedding for, I kid you not, we got there for 4 hours before, right, between the shmorg and the badekin and the chuppah and... At the four-hour mark, Rav Shachter, I can't stay. I got to go. He had a flight to catch or something, right? He never got to dance with the chassan. He says, I didn't know. Whoever heard of such a thing? So on the way home, he said to me, and I was still single at the time, he says, just take the pictures in advance. So I remember when I was discussing it with my wife before we got married, Rav Shachter said to take the pictures in advance. He was our Masada Kedushin. He blessed the wedding. So Baruch Hashem, if it's good enough for him, and it's good enough for Moreno Arav Tait Shlita, it's good enough for the rest of us as well. Okay? Okay, let's...
What's the point of a shomer than the day of the wedding?
That's a different ballgame. What's the point of a shomer is to do with... officially, has something to do with mazikin, right? Unofficially. So, yeah, somebody to check to make sure that you don't get into any sort of risky behavior. But officially, it has to do more with Shadim and Mazikin, as we understand it. Okay, we'll stop here, Be'ezras Hashem, and we'll meet up again in 2 weeks.